We are in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It is the last week in our series called Fearless, and I hope that you've had time to dive in. The Lord has dropped some things in your spirit, because there's a saying that more is caught than taught. So you can be taught all day, but being around something or something that somebody said, the Holy Spirit can just cause you to grab it, and it becomes truth to you. And so I want to encourage you, as we finish out this chapter, that you really dive in and really feel what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to you, because I believe that what we're talking about today, we are already here today. And so let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll read it together. It says, "I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths." Paul is writing to Timothy and saying, this is important to you, that you watch out for this. We are already here. This is not a time that's coming. We are here. And you have to be aware of the fact that there will be people who will be presenting a gospel that is impotent, without power, not effective. And I'm sure that you could, in this place, in your mind, you can think of people that you've heard or listened to that you're like, yep, he's an ear scratcher. And you've been around people who maybe are like this, who they tell you what you want to hear just because you think it'll make you feel good, but you don't really get what they really want to say. Because we become so politically correct that it's very hard for people to decipher what truth is and what's not. And when truth does come to the forefront, people get offended. Because we're not used to walking in truth. We sugarcoat around it because we try to placate people's emotions, because we think that if we do stand up for truth, then what does that mean for me? Hence, because we're so woke, that truth has become obsolete. The reality of it is that truth has not become obsolete, because you can't eradicate truth, because it holds a weight of its own. All you can really do is just try to water it down enough so that it's palatable for people, so that just in case they get some of it, that it won't be as offensive. But the reality of it is that the truth of the cross is the truth of the cross, that Jesus came and died for you, and that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him, and that there is a heaven and a hell, and one day you're going to one or the other place. Truth. And so you might think about today, well, this is kind of, what am I supposed to do about this? Well, you're responsible. So I want you to think about it this way. There's never been a time when the truth has not held weight. You understand that, right? So if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means his ways and the way he does things might be a little bit different, but his character does not change. It does not change. And so that means that when you get involved into a conversation with people and that you are presented with being able to share truth, you have an obligation to share it. It's the reason why you're in the situation in the first place. And you have a choice on whether or not you're going to represent Christ in the right way, or whether or not you're going to turn aside and say, nah, it's just too offensive. What part of the Bible is not offensive? What part of it is not? And so if you decide that you really want to walk this out, you're going to have to understand that you're walking in an offensive gospel. It is offensive. And to try to water it down so it sounds good loses its effect, and it puts you in bondage. And so if you can't speak the truth in love and do what God's called you to do, it doesn't shackle God. It shackles you. Have you ever tried to skirt around an issue and not really say what it is because you're concerned about the response? It hurts you. It puts you in bondage. It's one of the reasons why when Missy talked about forgiveness today, it's not for the other person, it's for you. They could care less, or maybe they've moved on from the offense, but you have to move on. And the only way for you to move on is to choose to forgive and move on. The power is in letting go, not holding on. That's the truth of it. And so if you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free, doesn't it behoove you to want to walk in truth so that you can walk free? Or I guess the opposite would be, maybe you like a little bit of bondage. Because if freedom is why Christ came and set you free, then when I fall short of that, I am missing out on the purpose of why he came. He did not come to put me back into sin or back into bondage, because we know I have not been given a spirit of fear. The spirit now I've been given is not a spirit of bondage again to fear. It is a spirit now where I cry out, Abba, Father. So I have a Father now in heaven who I have access to. But the problem is that if I walk in fear, then I am robbing myself of the freedom that he died to give me. And I'm talking about every area of your life. This is not one of those messages where you can say, well, I'm going to compartmentalize this, and that's for you, and that one's for him, and that one's for me, because that, you know, I like this area. This area for me is comfortable because I can hide here. I'm talking about every area of your life. God does not want you to hide. And that means that there needs to be a coming out party in the body of Christ. You need to come out. The problem is that people don't want to come out because there are some things in the closet that need to be thrown away. Because you can hide in closets. But the one thing about God is that God can supersede your ability to hide and look behind what you're trying to hide behind and start getting rid of stuff. You know, God can get rid of stuff without your permission. You never have one of those relationships with someone like, man, you're like a saver, they're a spender, or opposite, or they're a hoarder and you're not. You like to get rid of things and they don't. And so there's always this like this battle going on. It's like, why'd you throw all that out? Because we're never going to use it. I'm like, well, yeah, we're probably going to use it. It's going to come up. And then sure enough, it comes up. And back and forth you go. And so what happens in our relationship with God is that we kind of like barter with him. I'll keep this, but you take that. I'll keep it. You don't need it. You're not going to need it, Richie. You don't need it. Just let it go. Yeah, okay, but just in case. And then you realize later on that you don't need it because he's trying to strip you away of those things that entangle you. And that way, you don't need that. That's your former life. You used to hang on to that anymore, but my truth has set you free in that area. So once you let that go, you don't need it. Okay, I'll let that go. I'll keep this. You don't need that one either. You don't need it anymore. And so you begin to realize that once that season is over and once God has set you free, man, there's such a freedom in knowing that I don't need that affirmation anymore. I don't need it anymore. I don't need your picture anymore. I don't need your hello anymore. I don't need you saying hi to me anymore. I don't need you trying to like say like you're with me, but you're not. That's the game I'm done playing. I don't need that anymore. And so when God begins to lift that stuff from you, be thankful. Just be thankful. I don't need to walk that anymore. Praise God. Because it's for freedom that he set you free. It's for freedom. And so if God's heart is freedom, the enemy's heart is to throw you back into confusion. You got to choose which one you want to go with. As for me, I'll take the freedom route. Because I like what it looks like to be free, even if somebody doesn't. Because there's a power in freedom and there's a confidence in freedom. And you are supposed to exude that confidence. Because if the Bible is what it says it is, and its word is powerful and it's sharp and it does what it says it's supposed to do, you should be the very person that should be a billboard for how God can set people free. There should be no doubt of the fact that what God has done in your life, and you should be the one walking in confidence knowing who you are. You have the answer. You are the solution. You are. So why hold back? Well, because this is not in my nature. Bleep. You've been given a new nature. And that nature is not like the old nature. And so you are representatives of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so when you stop acting like paupers and start acting like princes, things will change. But we settled for a watered-down gospel because you don't want to offend anybody. Because in reality, some of the thought process goes like this. Well, I don't want people to think that I'm better than them. And what happens is, in saying that, you then lower your position. And then you invite bondage. Because your fear of man and what they say now shackles you. And because you're not trusting in the Lord, you're no longer safe. Do you realize that? When you walk in fear, now you're open game. Well, that's, yeah. Well, that doesn't give me license to stay in fear. No, it doesn't. Because now you're open game, because now you're playing along with the enemy's language. And so now we have a language problem. You're not talking God's language anymore, which is faith. Now you're aligning with his language, which is fear. And anytime you align with his language, there's destruction. Emotionally, relationally, even financially. I'm not tithing because I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. Because it's faith that moves God's hand, not your fear. Oh, come on now. If you ever, listen. Never once in my life have I seen God ask me not to do something because it was hard. Now, I don't remember. I don't ever. In my history, I'm trying to think. Yeah, no, that was hard. Yeah, that was. So there was never a time. And so it's not going to be any different. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's not going to be any different. God is going to ask you to do things that are hard to elevate you out of your fear so that you can begin to walk in faith, because the just shall live by faith. That's what you're supposed to be living by. Well, it's hard for me to do that. Well, we got to get there. Because if you don't get there, then instead of walking over stuff, stuff starts to walk over you. And I don't like the feeling of being submerged, and I don't like the feeling of being bound. Why? Because I know the feeling of being free. And if I know the feeling of being free and God says that's where he's supposed to be, anything else that tries to bind me, I repel that. Sorry. Oh, yes, I don't need you to tell me who I am. Because I have a God who already did that. And what that does now is that frees me from your manipulation and from your assignment of who I am. And so now I can move on to do what God's called me to do, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I have found my affirmation. I know who I am now, so I can do what God's called me to do. I don't need you to approve. But that's very difficult for me to do, because I'm very concerned about their response. You got to get past it. We live in a world right now they're submerged. They are being submerged because of their fear. They're underwater. They're confusion. People are trying to figure out who they are. They don't know what's up, what's down, trying to figure it out. That is not the place of the Christian. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. That means you're coming out of it. And then that when you're in the fire, it will not overtake you or burn you, okay? That means you're going to be in it, but I'm going to be with you. And so it's not going to affect you to the point of that you can't get out of it, okay? And so if you're stuck in it and you're being submerged by it, that's not Jesus. Are you keeping yourself there because you're a lack of obedience and lack of faith? Because I'm telling you this, your faith will determine how high you go and how fast you go through things. You can argue with me all day you want. You start changing your perspective and start giving God the praise and glory and start walking in faith, I promise you, you'll start to change and elevate. Things will start to change in your life. You'll start to move things. Try it this week. I just want you to try. Try an experiment this week. Try. All right, this week, Monday, I'm going to walk in fear. I'm going to walk in fear on Monday. Tuesday, I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to see which one's better. I promise you which one's going to be better. Tuesday's going to be a great day. My circumstances may not change. Yeah, but you will. That Paul's circumstances did not change. He was going to die. But his level of faith was where it needed to be, so much so that he's riding in prison, shackled to a kid who he laid hands on. Said, listen, you got to keep going, man. You got to keep going. I'm about to die, but you got to keep going. I know there's stuff going on in the church, but you got to keep going. We are here right now, but guess what? You are up. It's your turn. Your turn now, Timothy. What you going to do? Come on, church. It's your turn now. What you going to do? You're up. Some of y'all got people on your jobs. They're leaving. Guess what? Guess who's next? You. You're up. I'm not ready. Get there. Because sometimes what we do is that we take God for granted and we're like, well, my season's never going to come because the lack of faith is easier to have. Because if we never get there, then I knew it. And then, or if we do get there, we're tentative when we get there because we really didn't believe God the whole way. And so it's either God is for us or he's against us. If he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. If he's telling you to get ready, get ready. If he's saying you're up, guess what? Put your helmet on, put the bat in your hand, you're up. You're up. No, you're up. No, it's just you, man. And what, Lord, what are you looking at? Timothy, it's you. You're up, man. There's no time for worrying about, well, how's it going to look? It doesn't matter. You are up. You are up. You know, right now around the world, people are dying and people are being born at the same time. The circle of life is just happening. The Lord's calling people home. People are also being birthed right now. Every season, things are happening. Things are changing. God's raising people up, bringing people down. People are moving on. God's bringing in other people. Because the mission has to go on. Has to go on. The message of the gospel has to go on. His purpose has to prevail. Guess who's going to do it? You. You're up. All this stuff you've been going through. You're up. Getting you ready. You're up. You got to use your skills. God's going to give you the grace for the next season of your life. You're up. All that stuff, it's just been preparation. We're there. We are there. You are there. You are getting ready to go into another season, God says, and I'm getting ready to use what I put in you. And as I speak it to you, and if I put it in you, you know it's going to come out. You got to walk in confidence. There are no back doors with God. No back doors. As a matter of fact, God will close all the other doors that you look for escape. The doors are done. No back doors. That's the only one you're walking through right there. You're not going through anyone. You're not going to try to fake yourself out of this one. You're not going to try to pull it and go the other way. No, he said, this is the one you're going through. I want you to walk through that. You're up. Say what I told you to say. Be who I've called you to be. Use the grace and walk in the grace that I've called you to walk in. It's your turn. It's your turn now. You should be excited about that. But in reality, people are not. Because we have been placed, the ecclesia, the called out ones, in a dark world to shed light. How is the world going to see the light if there's no light shining? What's happening right now in Russia? What's happening in Ukraine right now? You can argue with me all day about your political point of view. I'm not really concerned about your political point of view. All I can tell you is that one country is standing up in defense of some other country trying to come take it out. What are you doing in your life right now? What's threatening to take you out? So much so that they're arming their own people. So you just got to go out and fight. You're up. I know, well, I'm not professional, but don't matter. Here's a gun. You're up. I don't have any education. It doesn't matter. It's about the country now. You're up. I don't have I don't know what to say. It doesn't matter. You got the Holy Spirit. You're up, man. What do you do when you're thrust into a problem and you have to fight in order to survive? If your mindset is, I can't do it, you are not going to survive it. You're not going to survive it. It'd be a lot easier for them to say, come on in, just overtake us so we don't have to fight. Why? You were meant to fight and stand up for what God has given you. You were meant to do it. Why let the power of the gospel die out? Because you're concerned about being ostracized. Who cares? Stand up for the gospel. Stand up in the midst of fear and do it anyway. Stand up chained and do it anyway. This is not something where it's like, well, it's time to tiptoe around it. It's not time to tiptoe around it. God said, do not hold back what I told you to hold back. If they don't like it, it's on them. If you're gonna clap, clap. The halfway clap. It's like the golf clap. The commentator's from 3 miles away. They can't hear you, bro. Just clap. The time for half measures are over. The time for you like walking in compromise is over. It's over. Don't you understand what God is doing right now? He's setting the stage for his return. Can't you see he's setting the stage for his kids to reign? Not just in heaven, right here. He is positioning people in key positions to do their job here. And if you may say, well, it's just too intimidating. It should not be intimidating for you as a Christian right now. Should not be. You are not so woke that you're dumb. You are not walking around masked up. You're not walking around with a lack of knowledge of who Jesus is. You're not walking around knowing that I don't know where I'm going. You have a hope that doesn't exist. You know. Do it. Why is it important that people hear this message? Because they're not doing it. Guys, I'm telling you. If we are more concerned about social media trends and you're more concerned about popularity, we are going to miss out on the move of God and what he wants to do in these last days. And yes, these last days. If you are more concerned about people and what they think, you're going to lose out on God's full purpose for your life. God's not doing church as usual. And I told you before, if people are looking for a church that they want as usual, there are plenty around in the area where they can go and just have usual church. God is not doing church as usual. He's raising up an army of people who are for him and not against him, and who are going to actually do what he's called them to do, irregardless of the consequences. Fear less. That is what he's looking for. That the whole traditional church is out. You are the church. You are the church. You're up. You have to go do what God has asked you to do. And take up arms and occupy. You got to occupy. Listen, I would say this. If you don't occupy your territory, someone else is going to. You don't take care of your business, someone else will. You don't do what God has called you to as far as managing and being a caretaker of what God has given you. Guess what? The enemy's right there. Waiting to jump right in. You don't think so? Ask marriages that have fallen apart over the last couple years. You don't take care of the business at home? Someone else will. A lot of times we're looking for like, well, who's going to do it? We have this thing. We're like, who's going to do it? We see all this problem. We're like, man, Lord, send somebody. I'm looking right at you. Send somebody. I know I'm sending you. Send somebody, Lord. You. No, it's got to be somebody else. No, it's you. If there's something inside of you right now that's beaten and you just feel God's heart and stirring, it's there for a reason. It's there for a reason. What does it look like for you? Only you know. Only you know what God's been knocking on the door of your heart with. Only you know. And you might be saying, well, this is nice and it's good, but I'm exhausted. We got a ways to go, man. I'm exhausted. You got to get unexhausted. I mean, if you're looking for a time in your life where it's like, well, things are going to be the way they were, they're not going to be the way they were. They're not going back to the way they were. You are in a different, you're not in Kansas anymore. You're not, man. You got to realize that there are things happening right now that you need a strategy for, and you're going to need supernatural strength to be able to do it. And so if you're looking for God to ask you to do something that's not going to require supernatural strength, God's not going to do that. You're going to need supernatural strength for this season and this next season. That's just the way it is. That's the game we're playing in now. That's the world we're in right now. That's the world. There's never been a time like this in history. Never. Never. You can look back and try to find, well, he did something there. Yeah, he's doing something totally different today. So we got to find out what God's heart is and get in it. You're up, man. You are up. All that stuff, God said, you're up. And God will make sure that you know you're up. Because you will be pushed to the end of yourself. Well, you have to make a decision on whether or not you will go and do what God's called you to do, regardless of what else is happening around you. You got to have that faith. I'm going to push it. You don't have to raise your hand in here, but you know right now God has pulled people out of your life and moving you and putting you in a position because he has something for you to do, and you got to be free. You have to be free. You can't be tied down. You can't be thinking about, I told you before, you can't be thinking about what happened at 5 anymore. That's over. That is over. Lord Jesus, help us. You can't. There's too much going on, and there's too many people. Do you know, I read a statistic the other day. 3% of people, 3%, are doing something consistently 3 to 5 days a week when it comes to their exercise. 3% of the population taking that part of their body seriously. Out of the 100, we have a problem. And we don't have to dig too far to even look at the spirituality of people in America today. I'm telling you, and I'm just telling you this from my personal, what God has done to me. There are things that I used to listen to that make me sick now. Sick. Because God said, that is not what I'm doing now. Because you have to... Church has become a social station for people to get their fix so they can go back out and, you know, live life with a God who they'll see next week. And they don't realize that God is with them 24/7 all week, watching over everything they do. But they got to come back on Sunday, get the feel socially. We're so social, we got no power. Yeah, you heard me. We're so social, we got no power. You're around people so much, man, but there's no change. There's nothing. Talking about the same stuff, doing the same things. There comes a point where you got to say, enough's enough. I can't do this anymore. I can't listen to that anymore. Here's the real deal. Because why? You're up. You're up. You're up. Well, I'm not really a counselor. You know, it's better. Let's leave that to the professionals. The reality is that what better way to minister to people than who you have inside of you? If you don't get truth from him, who are you going to get it from? You've been given a mandate. You've been given a responsibility. It's your time. If we don't take it seriously, I believe we'll miss out on all that God has. Why is that important? Because we don't need another generation dying out in the wilderness. You need to be the remnant that God wants to use in these last days, and that includes wherever you go. Ethan, come on up. Church is just a filling station. We are part of something on a larger level. Larger level than just Sunday morning. It is a filling station for you to come in. This is not your primary source of power. You need to realize that this has very little to do. I want you to think about the time we are here on Sunday compared to the time you are not here. It has a small impact on what God has called you to do on a larger scale where you are at. That means that you have to be in position to do what God has called you to do daily, daily. And realize that where you are, yes, church is, but you got to be positioned. And so be ready for God to speak to you where you are at. I mean, I look around it. We got healthcare, we got counseling, we've got taxes, we got accounting, we got finances, we got a broad representation of what's going on in here. Guess what God needs in those fields? People walking with integrity, people walking with power. Three 3% of people are serious enough about their physical health. I'd like to see the stats on their emotional health. And I could talk to a counselor about that. You can't tell me that there are people who are now struggling and battling with stuff that they should have probably got over a long time ago, but emotionally they're stuck in cycles that they can't get out. Cycles. And because they can't get out, they can't move on in life and walk into their purpose because they're still thinking that they're little Debbie at 10. You don't think the enemy's at work? You don't think he's trying to keep people stuck? You don't think he keeps rubbing over that wound and saying, man, just stay right there because remember when he hurt you? And they become a victim rather than to realize, I have to get out of this. I can't stay there. It's not profitable for me to have a pacifier in my mouth at 48. I can't be there anymore. I gotta move on. I gotta choose to dream. I can't miss out on what life has because of that. Who cares? If no one is pushing you, I will. If no one is pushing you, I will, or God will send somebody to do it. He will send someone because he is not going to allow you to die out in the wilderness because of something that you probably had no control over. And the enemy just sits there and rubs it on you. You never get out. You never come up because of this. And you got to stand up. And we got Christians like this. I'm not talking about non-believers. We got Christians like this, still sitting there like this, like you're probably right. You're right. And rather than say, you know what? No, you're not right. Because I remember that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So when you begin to stand up, guess what? He has to take notice. But when you get down to his level, you start playing his game. But you got to stand up. Why? Because you're already standing in position with Christ. If you just stand up, because he wants you there. You got to come out of it this week. This week. Stuff's going to come up. And you're either going to, and the Lord's going to allow it to come up. You're going to stay here. Or you're going to start to rise. And it's going to be the thing that's going to help push you out of stuff. You got to push out of it. Have to. There are too many things that God has called his people to do. And the enemy is at hard work right now. Working hard. Working hard. Let's all stand on our feet. God will push you even when you don't want to be pushed. Because he knows the benefit of you breaking out of that to get to the next level. And anybody who tells you that God doesn't push is lying to you. Anybody who doesn't tell you that the enemy is actually waiting right there, pushing at the same time, is lying to you. Whispering in your ear that, well, what if you do break through and you do get free? What are you going to do now? What you going to do with all your old friends? What you going to do? I don't care. What you going to do with all your old friends? Don't you realize that your whole life that God has been watching you? Your whole life. He's going to push you. Because you have to finally break free from what's been holding you. You have to. Are you willing to risk the rest of your life falling short of the promised land that God has promised you because of something or someone? Man, I was going to talk about this today. Come on, Lord. Come on, Jesus. We have infantilized relationships and marriage and being in a relationship as a fix. And you love your movies are made about it. Movies, and we love it because we're a movie. We like the feel-good aspect of it. But the reality of it is that no one can fix you. They can't fix you. I've gone to the movies probably 2 times in the last week, and both times I walked out. I looked at it, I said, what are you doing? Just parading sexuality out there like it's a game. Don't even need it, but you got it. I'm like, give me my money back, man. Because that's what sells. For the Christian, it repels. It's like, I see through it, man. But because people aren't fixed right emotionally, they gravitate toward it because they think, that's what I need. I need that. And in reality, in the right season and framework, it's beneficial for you, but not out of that season. And so we look at it like, man, it's a fantasy, because that's all the world has is pleasure. That's all they think. And when you look at the reality of it, statistics are 50% of people get divorced, and in the church, it's higher. So you're infantilizing something that's not reality. But we love it. Oh, what a scene. They made love. It was awesome. Really? Why am I bringing this up? Because we are falling in love with something that's not real. People are tripped up in their mind because of it. If I can just get it, I'll be good. And you don't realize the toll that it takes on you and the reality of what a relationship is. But it's good. But it's good. But I'm telling you, if you walk and start walking with Jesus, you're fearless about that and about what you need, and you'll allow the Lord to fill those areas of your life.
church, look past what you see. Look past the service. Look past what's being presented. Because look past why it's there. Because it shows the real need of what people want and what they think they want. But guess what? You're up. You're the one who gets to tell people in counseling. I tell you what, here, let's be real honest. Hey, what you're really seeking for is Jesus. You're not seeking that. Yeah, you're saying, and you're like, I can't say that because of HIPAA. Well, what you're really seeking is Jesus. I'll tell you what, if you would just curb your enthusiasm and you just turn to Jesus, he'll begin to feel that. What you're really looking for, guys, is you're looking for, I know we're men and I know all this stuff, but listen, he's not soft. He's not soft. I know we carry hoses and we're firemen and stuff, but listen, he's not soft, man. If we'll just kind of, we turn, we'll see that he'll meet us there. People are looking, but they're looking at the wrong thing to get the right thing. Lord, for every person in here who's searching and seeking, thank you, God, that you said that we will find you when we search for you with all our heart, all our heart. I thank you, God, that there are people in here who you've called to change this world, change this world. And right now, they're on the rise. They're on the rise. And Lord, you're about to give them a platform to be able to stand up for you and proclaim who you are. And God, I pray when you do that, they will do it with confidence. So know, God, that you have graced them and gifted them for such a time as this, that their old nature is gone. Their old life is gone. It's dead and buried with you. They've been raised to life with you. I thank you for your purposes and your plan that will prevail, not only in this house, but in this world. God, because we believe that the best is yet to come. And God, we come into agreement that every assignment of the enemy will be null and void. Lord, as you raise up your people, they will begin to take over territories that they've only dreamed about. They will begin to take over industries. God, they will be able to take over even in their relationships, God, in their jobs. God, that there will just be an understanding of who they are in you. That no longer, God, will their sins of the past entrap them. God, but the freedom that you promised them will loose them to be what you've called them to be. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.